If you've been around this place at all for any significant amount of time, you know that Welcome Week is a pretty big deal here in a normal year in Encounter. There are huge events that happen. Literally hundreds and hundreds of college students come through this building, and part of our job is to figure out how do we meet students, how do we serve them. The best way to do that is through typically food and beverage, right? Because college students like to eat. And so we have to figure out how to do that best. The best way to quench the thirst of hundreds of college students is by lemonade. We got some class for lemonade. All right, lemonade fans. Y'all, here's the thing. We have to make hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, thousands of cups of drink, right? Pop's expensive. And so lemonade is good to be able to make it in bigger quantities. Here's what we come up with, though. Sometimes we're throwing these events, right? And we get ready and we have to figure out who's mixing the lemonade, who's doing it. And we open the cupboard and we look in here and we say, ooh, this is how much lemonade we got. And so there's a few ways to make lemonade, right, here at Encounter. And one of the ways is the good way. We just go with it, right? We're just like, we're going to make some good lemonade, y'all. Yeah, we got to clap, right? This looks good, doesn't it? Like, if it was a hot August day, nice cold lemonade, right? This is one way to make lemonade. The other way to make lemonade is to look at this and be like, ooh, we have 4 more events this week. I don't know if Ben is going to allow us to go to Walmart to get more lemonade. So we're just going to have to... just gonna have to make it work, right? And so, y'all, I can pass this off as lemonade, right? It's not gonna be good, but here's the difference. We can live and make lemonade in abundance, or we can live and make lemonade in scarcity. Sometimes you don't know what's gonna come out of that blue cooler. Sometimes it's lemonade in abundance, and sometimes it's lemonade in scarcity. Here's what we do know. The person that drinks it can tell the difference. They can tell if you made lemonade like this or if you made lemonade like this. Tonight, the question that I want you all to answer for yourself before you leave is if you live your life in abundance or if you live your life in scarcity. Do you live your life in abundance, or do you live your life in scarcity? We're going to be jumping into our scripture here in 2 Corinthians. Before we jump in there, I want to catch you up to what's happening here. There's a famine happening in Jerusalem. Okay, it's pretty bad. People are dying. People are starving. There's not much to eat or drink. And so what Paul is doing is he's going around to churches in the surrounding areas, and he's saying, look, there's some brothers and sisters having a really hard time here. Will you consider helping them? And what he's doing is saying that he acknowledges that the believers in Jerusalem, they're a part of the kingdom of God. And so what he wants them to experience, he wants them to experience provision through the kingdom. Okay, so he goes to these churches and he tells them the situation and says, hey, will you jump on board? Will you help? And one of the first churches to jump on board was this church in Corinth. They come from a big, bustling, successful harbor town. So they have money, they have resources. And Corinth was one of the first churches to jump on board. Yeah, we got you. We're good to go. And then a little bit of time passed, and they started to question and hesitate a little bit about the word that they gave. And they're like, yeah, well, maybe we'll give, but we don't know how much we're going to give. Or man, what if we get, like, what if we don't, what if we have a drought and we gave all our resources to them? What do we do then? So there's hesitation that's kind of coming up that they are kind of faced with. And here's where we pick up here in 2 Corinthians, and this is Paul's response to them. If you have your Bible, you can open it up, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 through 10. And here's what it says. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seeds to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. And so there's a few things I want us to consider as we're taking a look at the scripture tonight. There's three points that I think is going to help us understand where we are in our position in giving. And the first thing we have to consider is God. So I have a three-year-old daughter named Ella. She's awesome. She has hair down to her booty. She loves Disney princesses. She loves dance parties. She's my best friend. I love her to death. And I remember the moment where she kind of became conscious of my role as a father as far as giving and taking. There was one time she was around 2 years old, and this girl loves her puffy Cheetos. Okay, she loves cheese balls, Cheetos, any form of it she loves. So she was eating Cheetos, and I reached over to grab out of her bag of Cheetos, and she gave me the meanest death glare you would ever see a two-year-old give. She's like, "What you doing with my Cheetos?" Like, she did not have any, she didn't want anything with me to taking her Cheetos, and she, at that moment, realized that, hey, I'm not a dad that just, like, gives her things, but I will also take from her if I need to. So now I just take Cheetos from her after she goes to bed. It's fine. But what we have to consider tonight when we're thinking about this concept of giving and we're looking at the scripture is whether or not we believe, whether or not you believe God is a giver or a taker. Do you believe that God is a giver or a taker? In Genesis, we have this picture of God, and what he does is he creates this world that's full of abundance, right? He creates this garden, and it's beautiful, and it's lush, and there's so many different options for food. And I think what it does is it paints a picture of God's character, and that he is a God of abundance. He's a God of variety. He's not a stingy God. He's a God of beauty, not just functionality. And we see here Genesis 2, verses 15 through 17. It says, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, 'You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will certainly die.'" He had one rule. He said, "Look, you can eat from any tree, variety after variety after variety. And the one rule is to stay away from this one." And you see this rule he put into place to protect and to nurture life. He loved Adam so much, he loved Eve so much that he said, "I want to give you everything I have. Just don't touch this," to protect and nurture your life. And we know what happened. They were faced with the choice of answering the question, is God good? Is he telling the truth? Is he going to give us what he told us he was going to give us? Will it really come through on his promise? Is he trying to maximize my life? Is he trying to protect and nurture my life? Or is he trying to control my life? They had to answer that question themselves. And they bought into the lie that God is stingy. They bought into the lie that God is a God of scarcity instead of a God of abundance. And what happened is that they got exiled out of the garden into this land east of Eden, into a land of scarcity. Their biggest fear was that God was going to take away, and they chose the one path that landed them into the land of scarcity. One of the first things we have to do when taking a look at this piece of scripture and this situation of whether or not we as believers should give is we have to answer ourselves, do we believe that God is a giver or is he a taker? Is he a God of abundance or is he a God of scarcity? The second thing we look at in this piece of scripture are his gifts, what he gives to us. And there's a few things that God gives us. First thing that God gives us, and this 2 Corinthians passage tells us, is that he promises to give us all sufficiency. God promises to give us all sufficiency. We see here in verse 8, it says, and God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. And here's what this is saying. This is saying, Paul's saying to this church of Corinth, look, I know that you're worried that if you give everything you have away and you're hit with a drought, you're worried you're not going to have enough to take care of your people. Look, I get it. That's a good worry. You should want to take care of your families, of your people. He's saying God is a God of abundance, and he's going to take care of you. God has your back. What he's saying is that God is not only, he's not going to bless you abundantly for yourself, he's going to bless you abundantly so you can take care of those around you. We'll get more into that in a second. But he will provide for our needs. He will provide all sufficiency. And what I love about this is that when we give outside of ourselves, we're in this position where we are forced to trust, all of a sudden, what we think we need and what we think we want and what we think we desire seems to shift a little bit. When we're in tune with the Holy Spirit, when we're in tune with what God's doing in and around us, all of a sudden, we think the needs that we have for ourselves might shift. And that's a sign that God is changing our hearts. He's saying not only is he going to give, is going to give you enough to take care of you and your own, he's going to give you the provision to sow seeds for others. Look, I know that in this room, there is a blanket, there is a variety of people, of y'all who are worried about different things in your life. There's a variety of anxieties and worries that this world has placed upon you. And I get it. I'm not going to be able to go through this right now, because I don't have enough time, but I want you just to write down the verses Matthew 6, 25 through 34. Write it down, Matthew 6, 25 through 34. And if there's ever a time where you just cannot figure out what tomorrow's going to look like, when you're just like, oh God, I don't think I have anything left. Oh God, I'm so worried about X, Y, Z. This is from the Sermon on the Mount, and this is basically Jesus saying that, look, God created everything. God supplies the birds in the sky and the flowers in the field, and he loves you more than them. If he created and gives them all sufficiency, he will give you all sufficiency because he loves you more. If you're ever in a state of panic, if you're ever in a worry, open up your Bible and just like rest. Just rest there in Matthew 6. I wish I had more time to go into that. But what Jesus is saying there in Matthew 6 is that he's inviting his disciples into this truth of who God is, that he loves his children and he cares about their needs. He loves you as a child of God and he cares about your needs. If your biggest worry about giving is that you're not going to have enough for your needs, Paul's saying, don't worry about it. God's got you. Jesus is saying, don't worry about it. God has got you. The second thing that we see in God's gifts that he gives to us is that he gives us the character of righteousness. He gives us a character of righteousness. Verses 9 and 10 say, as it is written, they freely scatter their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. This idea of righteousness, this idea of being a righteous person, it's a social word, okay? It's a relational word. What it does is acknowledges that we're meant to be in connection with each other. We're meant to be in connection with the Lord, and we're meant to be in connection with each other. And this posture that righteous people have in the Bible, always this posture, is that they have this attitude that the good things that I have doesn't end with me. To be a righteous person means that I acknowledge the blessings that I have and it never ends with me. The things that I have, the blessings that I have, the excess and abundance that I have always will be invested, always will be given, always will be served into the kingdom. You see, the righteous use good to give life to the people around them. And so the righteous are always thinking about how can I use what God has given me to provide for the needs of myself and my family? Yes, this is Paul harps on this. Again, provide for yourself and your family. Also, build others up around you. Proverbs says, when it goes well with the righteous, the whole city rejoices. Because the righteous take lead from the Lord, and they help create life for others. Y'all, this is a promise that God has given us. That if you're to give out of a cheerful heart, the righteousness of abundance gets to overflow into the people around you. That's an incredible promise. You want to ask yourself, how do I love the people around me? Give. Want to ask myself, how can the people around me know who Jesus is? Give. This is the promise that God has given us. Here's what I want to warn you guys, okay? It's easy to take this scripture and twist it just a little bit to make it something that it's not intended to be. There's something that's called the prosperity gospel. And what it is, it's taking the scripture, and some people say, well, this scripture says that if I give, then God's just going to give to me abundantly. And what they do is they're taking this out of context. What Paul is saying is, yeah, God's going to give to you abundantly so that you give abundantly. You see, the prosperity gospel always stops with you. The prosperity gospel says, I'm going to give so God will give to me. The true gospel says, I'm going to give so God gives to me so that the kingdom will be furthered. The prosperity gospel always ends with myself. The true gospel always ends with furthering the kingdom. Always. So if you're ever questioning of like, oh, that sounds a little weird. If it ends with you and your benefit and your righteousness, it's not the real gospel, y'all. If it ends with furthering the kingdom and making God's name famous, that's the real gospel, okay? So I just want to warn you guys that the gifts that we're given, this isn't the main part of this thing, okay? This is Paul saying, y'all, you're going to be taken care of, and the people around you are going to be taken care of. It's a beautiful gift. Let's not get it twisted, okay? Last thing that we need to take a look at in this piece of scripture is you. Here's the choice that the Corinthians have in this situation. Do I give out of obligation, or do I give cheerfully? Do I give out of scarcity, or do I give out of abundance? You see, part of the joy of giving, when you're giving cheerfully, when you're giving from an authentic posture, part of the joy is that you get to anticipate the harvest of righteousness. Understanding that, y'all, something cool is going to happen. God has big plans for this. I don't know what it's going to be. But there's a promise here. Paul says that there's a harvest coming. There's a harvest of righteousness coming. God's going to do something incredible with that church in Jerusalem. The people in Corinth might not have any idea or might not have any connection with what it's going to be, but they get to anticipate. They're going to say, hey, hopefully sometime me or my kids or your kids or someone's kids are going to be able to hear of the harvest of righteousness that happened because of the faithfulness of the people that came before you. It's a beautiful thing, y'all, that we get to be a part of. I'm a dreamer. I'm a dreamer at heart. I'm an Enneagram 7. I am always thinking about what could be, what might be, how can we make, you know, X, Y, Z come to fruition. And so let's dream tonight. Let's dream. What if every single person in this room took a step of faithfulness and saying, Lord, I'm trusting that you're going to be you're a God of abundance. I don't have much. Whatever I have is yours. My time, my energy, my gifts, my money. What would happen if even this size of a group stepped forward in that faith? Y'all, the kingdom has changed. You know what happens? You know what God does with that? What he does is he grows our capacity to be blessings to our campus. He grows our capacity to be blessings to our friends and our family and the people we work with and the people in our classes. He grows our capacity to be blessings to people that we don't even know. When we step into this posture of trusting the Lord, the fruit, the harvest of righteousness is bound to come. Our job, my job is literally this. I've been doing this job for 12 years. What I get to do is I get to come along college students for a little time of their life, a few years of their life, and I get to invest, and I get to invest hard, and I get to point them to Jesus, and I pray that the Lord is pressed deep into their hearts. And you know what happens? a harvest of righteousness comes. When they're 25, 30, 40 years old, when they have kids, when they have families, the Lord does incredible things in our life. I don't get to see that. I don't get to see it, but I get to be present. And I get to give out of the abundance of what the Lord has given me right here, right now. That is a gift. You see, this is what Paul is asking the church in Corinth to do. They're asking them to step into this posture of giving in abundance and not giving in scarcity. Here's the main point. When you're asked something like this, when you're asked to give in a way that requires you to trust God, the true condition of your heart is revealed. When you're asked to give in a way like this, when you're asked to actually give in a way that requires you to trust God, the condition of your heart is revealed. You see, the church in Corinth, they signed up quick. They were in it. They were ready to go. And then all of a sudden, I don't know, there's some hesitation. Is this what we should be doing? Yeah, what they had to do is they had to then, their hesitation forced them to reconcile their heart with the Lord. They had to be faced about whether or not they think the God is a giver or a taker. If he's a God of abundance or he's a God of scarcity. You see, what Paul wanted for this church in Corinth is he wanted them to live a lifetime of abundance giving. He didn't want just a one-time spurt like, let me give the richest because they can. He wanted a lifetime of abundance, not a lifetime of scarcity. And now if I'm to be honest, that is my biggest heart for you guys. For you, for every person in this room, there's one thing I could give to you tonight is that I yearn for you to live a life of abundance. Now, right now, I hope you walk in abundance right here during your time in college, right here at Encounter. When the world tells you you don't have any money to your name, you're a poor, broke college student, I pray that you walk in abundance with the Lord. I pray that you walk in abundance with the Lord when you graduate and you don't know where you're going to live and you don't know what your job's going to be and you have to trust the Lord. I hope you walk in abundance then. I hope you walk in abundance 15 years from now when you have a family, when you have a kid, when you have a career, when you're pursuing your passions. I hope you walk in abundance then, not in scarcity. The scripture ends like this. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. What happens when this group walks in abundance during their time in college? It results in thanksgiving to God. What happens when this group walks in abundance when you graduate and you get placed somewhere new? Thanksgiving to God. What happens when you walk in abundance in your new life, when you're rooted and you're pursuing your passions? God gets thanksgiving. Tonight we have the opportunity for you to consider what it looks like for you to give right now in your capacity at your time here. We have a thing called First Five here at Encounter. And what it is a simple way set up to give our students opportunity to give back to this place. What it is we ask for you to give your first $5 every week. Every week saying, hey, Lord, I love you. I trust you. I don't know if I have $5 in my account, but I'm trusting you to provide. And what happens is that when the members of Encounter give in this way, give sacrificially, give out of a cheerful heart, ooh, the harvest is right, man. God used that in incredible, incredible ways to reach people on this campus, people in this community, in ways that we can't even imagine. And so tonight, we're going to have three worship songs to end our night. And I'm just going to ask you to consider that. ISUencounter.org/first five is where you sign up for that. You can pull out your phone and do it right during a song. You can do it when you get home tonight. You can call your mom and talk it over with her. But here's my challenge for you. Consider what it means to trust and be stretched tonight. For some of you, $5 a week is going to be a trust exercise with you and the Lord. For some of you, that's $15 a week. For some of you, that's $3 a week. And whatever it is, I'm trusting that between you and the Lord. What would it look like if all of us chose to step in abundance towards the Lord? Ooh, that harvest of righteousness is going to be good. Let me pray. God, I love you. I love these students. I love this ministry, and I love the way that you've used these humble, normal people to really transform your kingdom. Oh, God, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 50 years ago, God, you've been using people in this corner of Normal and Locust to do incredible things for your kingdom. God, I pray tonight that we leave with hearts stretched just a little bit more to trust in you. God, that this idea of righteousness is something that we want for ourselves and for each other. And most of all, we want your name to be made great. God, we want your name to be made famous on this campus, in our dorms, in our workplaces. God, thank you for being the God of abundance and not a God of scarcity. I pray that the abundance that flows off of our group transforms what this kingdom looks like here in 5 years from now and 10 years from now. We trust all that to you. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.